Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, a Pittsburgh Steelers podcast made by fans like you, for fans like you. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. I am your host, Joe Kuzma, and today I have a special guest and a special show, kind of continuing on the same trend of Steelers fandom across the country, no matter where you may live or who may be in your family to sway you in a different direction. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I'd like to introduce my guest to the Steel City Underground podcast. He is the editor of Behind the Steel Curtain, a member of SB Nation, behindthesteelcurtain.com, Jeff Hartman. Jeff, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Glad to finally be able to make it on one of these shows.
Yeah, I know. I've been name dropping you over the last few, and it's, you know, not even just out of the, you know, goodness of my heart or goodness of your heart. It's just I've had so much to discuss where your name just keeps popping up, and kind of continuing on the whole series of maybe displaced NFL fans. Maybe they're living in like a city like Washington, D.C., and are formerly from Pittsburgh, or like you and I, as I was discussing the other day. We actually grew up in regions that are kind of Steelers areas, but aren't necessarily Pittsburgh. And you wrote a really cool article that was quite inspiring to me, and I know it was a little off the cuff and something just for Father's Day, but you had it over at behindthesteelcurtain.com, or sometimes as we abbreviate that on the internet, BTC, just a lot to say. You said how a father can change their child's life with the selection of an NFL team. And I could hear that already in the background.
Sorry about that.
So, I didn't necessarily get into major details with my own battles with a house divided. I don't think you're part of a house divided like I am. Like, I'm a Steelers fan and my wife is actually a Cleveland Browns fan. Is that the same case for you, or are you all Steelers fans over there?
Being from Wheeling, West Virginia, I grew up in a very black and gold household, but my wife is a Marylander. She lives, has always been from Maryland. But fortunately for me, no one in her family had really strong ties to any professional sports teams. And so she joined the ship. She jumped on the bandwagon, and she's a fan of all three teams now, too.
Yeah, and that was kind of how this all started. It's funny you mentioned bandwagon, because I've been just living the high of living in between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. I happen to be both a Pens and a Cavs fan, and like the last 2 weeks have just been incredible with both of those teams winning championships. And that whole Maryland thing, that's pretty cool. You're quite fortunate, though, probably, because I know I'm 34 and I think you're 33, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so we're about the same age. So, you know, she probably didn't have a chance to get that Ravens infection from when they moved from Cleveland over to Baltimore. They didn't have anything but like a Canadian football team over in Baltimore. So I guess the closest thing there may have been Redskins, which, you know, aren't natural enemies. Probably wouldn't be too upset about that. But yeah, tell me a little bit about, you know, growing up in Wheeling. You're kind of in a similar situation where you're like, I bet you could literally go drive into Ohio or into Pennsylvania. What, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe not even that, huh?
No, I could be in Pennsylvania in about 5 minutes, and I could be in Ohio in about 10. You're literally pinched right in between the two states. And although my family origins do trace back to Pittsburgh, my grandfather was an immigrant from Romania. He settled in Pittsburgh with his family and then eventually moved down to Wheeling. Fortunately for me, the Steelers were unbelievably awesome in the 70s. And that's what got my dad hooked. And he was always a Pirates fan. And then when the Penguins became a team in 67, well, it was just natural that you followed them as well. And so I grew up in a house where, you know, it was black and gold all year round. I don't really follow college sports that much. Don't really follow the NBA. Just those three teams. That's really all I have time in my life for, and all that I really ever wanted to follow. So, but in West Virginia, you have no professional sports team. And so you have to try to move somewhere, and fortunately I've chose some really good teams to follow.
And you know, just geographically, for people who can't picture this, like Wheeling is right along with the Ohio River there. So, like, you could literally only, I think, drive on the Ohio side coming along the Ohio River there into Wheeling. And then it's like all like wooded area along the river until you get to Wheeling. And then you could cross over and go into West Virginia. But at the same point, you know, I do officiating and college officiating when it comes to and a whole other sport here, soccer. It's w that's way off the beaten path of this conversation. But I've been down to Wheeling many times, and it was like I was in three states within like 15 minutes when I was going down to Wheeling the last time I had visited. And you know, it's funny you mentioned that with like the Pirates and having your dad get in that. My dad wasn't really a big sports fan. He was more like a WWE guy, the pro wrestling stuff, which I was a huge fanatic of, and actually former pro wrestler too, which I'm dropping some things I don't want people to find on YouTube out there, but there it's a little out in the open there. Anyways, that time has long since passed, but my dad, that's about all he was ever into. So you had my uncle, who was the one who pretty much introduced me to football. And like I said, maybe I said this in the last show, where we traveled around a lot following the one local college that we have here with Youngstown State, and they were winning championships in the 90s. I mean, we went everywhere. We went to Iowa and South Carolina for playoff games, and played down at Marshall University many times before Marshall moved up with their big stadium and their additions they had down there. They naturally moved up and into the MAC. So we were following them around, but somehow I avoided his Cleveland Browns fandom because he is just was crazy Browns fan. I remember watching games with him as a kid, and you know, there was that great rivalry that doesn't seem to exist there anymore, though I still have to contend with that, not only with him, but my wife. Who, and I may have mentioned this too, because we had those really cool NFL commercials. I remember mentioning, I think I did mention with the Chicago Bears fan and the Packers fan and like in-laws sending someone a jersey of one team for the other for the kid. I literally lived that within my household. We're always fighting over what my soon-to-be 3-year-old daughter wears on game days, and I'm trying to keep her in black and yellow. So this morning, and I hope I could get a sound clip. I hope I get a sound clip. I'm going to insert it on here if I can. Maybe towards the end or something, or at the for the intro. She literally this morning, my wife and I were talking about like maybe doing this show with you and having you as a guest, Jeff. And we mentioned to my daughter and say, "Hey, who's your favorite football team?" And she kind of pauses as young kids do when they get shy. And then my wife says, "Do you like the Browns?" And she looks up and says, "No, Steelers."
Perfect.
So I think it's working. And like you were saying, you know, maybe not like any NBA team or anything that's real close by, and with the Pirates close by, being geographically where I am, I mentioned how we went to the Pirates and Indians game playing each other at PNC Park last year during the 4th of July weekend. And my uncle wears an Indian shirt and a Pirates hat. A lot of people looking at him sideways, but that's completely normal, like protocol for people in this area of Northeast Ohio. I imagine it's almost the same like when you go up into Ashtabula and Erie and maybe even West Virginia, where you may see you see fans that might have like something Steelers on and then something Ohio on. It's probably not something that people in Pittsburgh think about too much, but maybe someone that like lives out in like Texas or California, maybe they see that every day. And I know sometimes when I see somebody walking around with like Packers gear, I'm always thinking, hey, you know what? That's like a bandwagon fan or something like that. But there's a lot of displaced fans or people that just don't grow up directly in the cities that they're fans of those teams, or people that move away from those areas, of course, and they bring that fandom, you know, like you said, with your family originally having roots to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about Pittsburgh, I mean, the Steelers are such a different breed in terms of the team and the fan base. And to give anyone that hasn't noticed before, like you can do something as simple as Facebook likes. Okay, and so the Pittsburgh Pirates have just under 2 million likes on Facebook. The Pittsburgh Penguins have over 2 million on Facebook, and the Pittsburgh Steelers almost have 7 million. And so that's to kind of give you some form of logistics to realize like the broad spectrum of the team, and it's not just in Pittsburgh, it's global. And some of them started as bandwagon fans. I've written an article for Behind the Steel Curtain before where everyone, a lot of fans, they started as bandwagon fans and then just became like this cult. I think that for the Steelers, though, especially, I mean, I speak with followers that comment on our website, and there are people that live in California. There's people that live overseas, and it really, they only follow the Steelers. And so for a fan like me, for a fan like Christopher Carter, who's also a contributor to BTSE, you know, we're Pittsburgh fans, which means we like the Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates, whereas other people are Steeler fans, but they like the Yankees, or they like the Knicks, and they like, I don't know, the Florida Marlins. I don't know.
The Lakers.
But they like,
yeah, the Lakers.
Sure, sure. But they like other teams. And so for some people that are like myself, or you're a Pittsburgh fan, you're like, boy, that's weird. Like, I don't know how they could do that. Especially, you know, there are people in Maryland that love the Steelers, but then they're Washington Capitals fans. And for me, I mean, that's almost blasphemy. I mean,
you just don't
talk about that. You don't say that openly. And so it's definitely a unique situation. But when it comes to the three Pittsburgh sports, the Steelers being such a broad fan base and just having so many fans, we've come to find out that a lot of fans, that they just like the black and gold for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and their other sports teams can vary no matter where they live, no matter what sports they like. And there are a lot of people that really, they'll tell me all the time, I only watch football and I only like the Steelers. I don't care about baseball, hockey, basketball, you name it. And hey, that's what BTSE is for. It's all Steelers all the time.
Hey, you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's the same thing, you know, with me working with you with BTSC and then also the stuff I do with Steel City Underground. It's like, you know, 24/7 around the clock. And I mean, you see just the popularity of even the NFL Combine being on TV and the NFL Draft and the ratings it pulls in. I mean, I don't think I've ever watched a Major League Baseball draft or an NHL draft. And I just moderately paid attention to the NBA draft. Like I said, being a Cavaliers fan, you know, I wanted to see who their first pick was. Like, you know, when LeBron left, they got Kyrie Irving to come in there. And that's about maybe the only time I've ever even seen an NBA draft. So the NFL popularity is definitely, they used to say that baseball was America's pastime. And then they would say NBA, I want to say just basketball in general, is America's game. But football, professional football, not soccer, the American football, as they probably call it, like when you're talking about those foreign fans, that is America's passion. And you can certainly see it with the way that people gravitate towards their teams. I mean, you're just talking about like even displaced fans. Just look at how Steelers Nation travels to all these different games. It was practically a home game from what I saw in San Diego, you know, watching on TV and seeing clips from fans and whatnot on Twitter. But also, when I've been to a few of these away games and somebody tried to tell me this in Cincinnati, oh, no, that's not true. Like, well, those Cincinnati fans are pretty much bandwagon fans, because when I was down there, they had just had Andy Dalton was just a rookie. AJ Green was just a rookie. They had just shown Carson Palmer and T.O. and Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, whatever you want to call them. They showed him the door. And those fans pretty much abandoned that team. And you know, the Steelers filled that stadium. It was absolutely pandemonium. Last year, the Browns, now those are some diehard fans, the Cleveland fans. And like I said, I feel for them. I feel their misery, having been a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, having been through the shot with Michael Jordan, poor Craig Elo, always in those video clips in you know, on the poster. He's been posterized, as they say. And it's just, I felt their misery. At least, you know, I didn't have to feel the same misery being a Browns fan. And that's kind of like where your article like tied in and really touches on this, because you were saying, you know, your brother went through this phase here, it says, of liking the San Francisco 49ers, Oakland Raiders, and then the Giants. Now, I could see a lot of people. I actually had a friend who went over and became a Giants fan based on Barry Bonds. And, of course, when those Killer Bees, the original Killer Bees that were with, I don't know if they're the original Killer Bees, but they precede the ones we have with the Steelers now, when you have Bonds and Bonilla and Bell and those guys, and who could forget, like, you know, Van Slyke and What a great team they had like in that early 90s, and then, you know, they kind of just fell off a cliff for 20 years or so there. And so some people probably feel that same thing with Pittsburgh, but as you're seeing, even with like the parades that's going on in Cleveland and how many people they have there, they still didn't have a number of it as of this recording. They were saying as close as 800,000 maybe reported, and then up to 1.3 million that would show up. And it's not to say that Pittsburgh people wouldn't show up for their parade, but this is just like one of those things where Cleveland people feel, hey, this is just once in a lifetime. We might not get to experience this ever again. It's been 55 years.
Yeah.
So we're going to show up where we're like really spoiled. We're posting like all these memes and images and City of Champions with all the Stanley Cup trophies and Lombardis, the World Series, you know. So I really do wonder if it affects someone's depression or, you know, their temperament. You know, you say the mistake on a lake, but I always thought maybe people were very miserable being, you know, Browns fans, and getting back to the traveling and being in First Energy Stadium for that final week of the 2015 regular season. I had some videos I'd posted because it was practically a takeover. Those fans are diehard. They showed up. I mean, there were almost every seat had a butt in it, even though it was week 17. They have Austin Davis starting as a QB. They're dealing with all this Johnny Manziel crap. I think that was the game where he had a concussion, but then it surfaced on Twitter that he was in Las Vegas or something under a false name. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the name is. Vicks keeps coming to mind, Michael Vick with the Ron Mexico thing. I can't think of what they were calling Johnny Manziel there, but it's just like it was just like one bad thing after another. But you and I, we got to dodge those bullets because we didn't have to grow up following this miserable Cleveland Browns team. Oh, man, my wife is going to kill me because you know what? She was listening to the previous show and waiting for me to name drop her, and now I just really took a dig at her team. So,
well, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, they're basically the NFL punching bag. And it doesn't look like, let's be honest, I mean, Hugh Jackson's there now, but it doesn't look like there's any foreseeable signs of major improvement. I mean, they have a lot of draft picks, but they've always had a lot of draft picks. They have a lot of high draft picks. They've always had a lot of high draft picks until they get some personnel in there that actually know what they're doing. They aren't going to, you know, pick these players that are just going to like Tim Couch or Brady Quinn or, you know, players like this that obviously do not pan out. Then I have no reason to think that the Browns will be even remotely competitive in the near future. But, you know, Pittsburgh fans, like you said, are spoiled. And I think the number one person that they're spoiled with, in my opinion, is Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, since 2004, this guy's been rock solid. Yeah, you want to talk about ranking quarterbacks and all that stuff. You know, you can do that all you want. And that's not really for me. It's not really my thing. What I do like to talk about is the fact that he's a winner, period. He won in college. He's won in high school. And he's won at the NFL level. He's won two Super Bowls, been to three. And he is primed in the prime of his career to possibly get back there for a fourth and possibly win his third Super Bowl this year. And we wrote an article today, or I didn't, but one of our writers did at BTSE, about if you could pick one Pittsburgh Steelers player and have them for eternity, who would it be? And I was kind of shocked. Now, the author of the article, he said that he thought it would be – he picked Troy Polamalu.
Wow, okay.
But for me – it's hard to say that Ben Roethlisberger, you know, the quarterback position is so important. He is such a great player. That's probably who I take. Now, this is also probably a little biased based on the fact that he's my favorite player. He's the only jersey that I own. I have got like five or six of his jerseys, but his jerseys will never go out of style, in my opinion.
Oh no.
And it's since he was drafted in 04. And that was really when I became, and I mean, I was a fan before, but that's when I became like a fanatic. I mean, I was obsessed with every little tidbit about this team that I could find fathom. And, you know, I always seem to write an article as the year progresses. It's like, look, enjoy every single season, every single game that you have with number seven under center, because there's going to come a time where he's not going to be there. And you just hope it's not the same lull between Bradshaw and Ben that we had to endure with Mike Tomczak and Malone and Bobby Brister and Tommy Maddox and all these just duds of quarterbacks. So you hope that's not the case, but for now, for the next probably 4 or 5 years, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it, because you could technically turn into the Browns. What is this, their 25th starting quarterback since they re-entered the NFL? It's amazing.
Yeah, it truly is. And did you see, I think you may have even shared that or seen it on Twitter, where we were in a conversation, maybe even on our personal accounts, where they were prematurely retiring the Browns jersey, I think was the name of that. And it's kind of, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because if I had to pick one guy, I think I have to go with Mean Joe Green, just because that guy was the cornerstone. You see, he's got his jersey retired, the only modern era player. I mean, he really kicked all this off. But at the same time, I could totally side with Ben Roethlisberger. I'm with you. I own about 6 or 7 Ben jerseys. I was getting a little concerned, too, because at one point there was those, like, rumors after the Bruce Arians kind of, like, getting thrown out of Pittsburgh, so to speak, and then Todd Haley coming in and all the disagreement crap. And you have people like this, I want to say it was Ian Rappaport, but it might not have been him that
was
saying, was it him that said he was getting traded to the Rams, or there was talk of trading him to Rams? And like, I had this pit in my stomach about it. And it's probably that same pit. I actually put out something earlier just today as we're recording this, even though you may listen to this a day or two later, but it was about Skip Bayless taking a dig at the Steelers. And it was about the Tebow overtime win and that throw. And he was trying to take a dig at Stephen A. Smith, who I didn't realize was a childhood Steelers fan. So you're talking about, you know, Steeler Nation nationwide, pretty much. They, you know what? They want to call the Cowboys America's team. I don't believe it. I don't buy it for a minute. It's just like a marketing gimmick. But he takes that dig with the whole Tebow thing, and I was thinking about how bad that still hurts, you know. But it doesn't hurt as bad, because for a while there, we didn't make the playoffs, and we didn't make the playoffs for only like 2-3 seasons, you know, as we're making this transition. And the Browns, they haven't been good since they've been back in 1999, and they've had different quarterbacks, and they passed on Ben Roethlisberger. And if I talk to most of my friends that are Browns fans, or the people in my family, or, you know, I don't know so much my wife cares as much as to not have Ben, but the people that really realized what was going on and saw the same way they passed on Sammy Watkins, the same way they traded out of Julio Jones, like, they're just sick of, like, some of the boneheaded moves that this team appears to make. Well, everyone else seems to improve, and you have the Steelers, who never seem to, you know, make that many missteps anyway. They had a few injuries, retirements, some bad luck, like Lamar Woodley just couldn't stay healthy, and they paid him a lot of money. They didn't have cap room. Those type of things happen to every team, but just not consistently over and over and over, where they're changing offensive coordinators and coaches, and even like just the front office and GM. So not that I really want to wish Cleveland any better luck, but a lot of people who remember what it was like before the Browns moved to Baltimore, I think would like to see that rivalry come back. And I know, living in the area where I live, where you have people that can actually be Steelers fans and Ohio State fans and Cavs fans and Pens fans and Pirates fans, and not just solely into the whole Pittsburgh scene, I think they want to see that too, because there's no more fun than coming into work when you had a 50-50 split and both teams were good, and you could strut in on that Monday morning and just say, you know what, my team beat your team, and it would go
right.
And you're just needling each other until they play that second game, and maybe even that third game on the off chance that they play and meet each other in the playoffs. There's nothing more fun than that, let me tell you. So, Jeff, it was fun having you on here. I'm glad that we got finally hooked up and were able to do this. Any parting words that you want to say? Go ahead and plug BTSC. Why don't you? I do it enough on the show already. Maybe I think I've been doing it more than even the Steel City Underground stuff that I do.
Yeah, no. If you want to stay in touch with what BTSC is doing, you can get us on our social media platforms, which is on Twitter, it's @BTSteelCurtain. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/BehindTheSteelCurtain. And as always, on our homepage, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, it's updated every day with at least probably 3 or 4 new articles. During the season, it's even more. It's probably 6 or 7 articles a day. It's one of the best Steeler sites around, within Steel City Underground and a couple others that are out there that are really quality writing, quality ideas. We're not just taking other people's stuff and repurposing it. So if you haven't checked it out before, do so. You won't regret it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I thank you for allowing me, and with the whole Steel City Underground platform, collaborating with BTSC. And I wanted to finish with one, I think it's this last sentence that you had in this article, and it said, "Remember, raise your kids the right way with a terrible towel in their hands."
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. As promised, here is my young daughter, Chloe, and she's going to answer, who is your favorite football team?
Steelers.
Say it louder.
Steelers.
Say it louder.
Steelers.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. Also wanted to thank Jeff again for coming on the show. You can follow Jeff Hartman on Twitter at BNGBlitz. You'll always see his articles over at BTSC, also known as Behind the Steel Curtain, which you can go to at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And I also wanted to thank Jeff for syndicating today's episode with Behind the Steel Curtain. There will be some more collaborations here in the future, and you'll be able to hear the Steel City Underground podcast, hopefully every week, if not more than once a week, on Behind the Steel Curtain over on Blog Talk Radio. For those of you who are first-time listeners of the Steel City Underground podcast, you can also find us just about everywhere, every major social media outlet, including Facebook and Twitter. We have a Vine account. You can listen to our podcasts also on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher. So yeah, pretty much, yeah, just about everywhere. And for those of you who've been here for the long haul, I want to thank you for your continued support. Of course, thanking Jeff for posting some of the content and articles from Steel City Underground over on Behind the Steel Curtain, which, by the way, our article was the number one article for 2 days running and was one of the top articles for the rest of the week over on BTSC. It was also picked up by Bleacher Reports and Yahoo, so I cannot say enough good things to all of you listeners and readers who helped make all of this possible. Truly shows how great Steelers Nation is. And once again, thanks again, folks. Until next time, be safe, be good, and of course, I'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.